Section 17. It was a heavier star of radiation, a fatter one, a brighter one. Dennison could feel its warmth on his faceplate and backed away. There was a distinct X-ray component in the radiation, and though this shielding should take care of that, there was no point in placing it under a strain. "I guess we can't question it," he muttered. "The leak point is stable."
"I'm sure of it," said Selene, flatly.
"Then let's turn it off and go back to the city." They moved slowly, and Dennison felt oddly dispirited. There was no uncertainty anymore, no excitement. From this point on, there was no chance of failure. The government was interested. More and more, it would be out of his own hands. He said, "I suppose I can begin the paper now."
"I suppose so," said Selene carefully.
"Have you talked to Baron again?"
"Yes, I have."
"Any difference in his attitude?"
"None at all. He will not participate."
"Ben..."
"Yes?" "I really don't think it's any use talking to him.
He will not cooperate in any project with the Earth government."
"But you've explained the situation."
"Completely."
"And he still won't?"
"He's asked to see Godstein, and the commissioner agreed to an interview after he returns from his Earth visit.
We'll have to wait till then. Maybe Godstein can have some effect on him, but I doubt it."
Dennison shrugged, a useless maneuver inside his spacesuit. "I don't understand him."
"I do," said Selene softly.
Dennison did not respond directly. He shoved the pionizer and its attendant apparatus into its rocky shelter and said, "Ready?"
"Ready."
They slipped into the surface entrance at Outlet P4 in silence, and Dennison climbed down the entry ladder. Selene dropped past him, breaking in quick holds at individual rungs. Dennison had learned to do that, but he was dispirited and climbed down in a kind of rebellious refusal to accept acclimation. They removed their suits in the staging areas, placed them in their lockers. Dennison said, "Would you join me for lunch, Selene?" Selene said uneasily,
"You seem upset. Is something wrong?"
"Reaction, I think. Lunch?"
"Yes, of course."
They ate in Selene's quarters. She insisted, saying, "I want to talk to you, and I can't do it properly in the cafeteria." And when Dennison was chewing slowly at something that had a faint resemblance to peanut-flavored veal, she said,
"Ben, you haven't said a word, and you've been like this for a week."
"No, I haven't," said Dennison, frowning.
"Yes, you have."
She looked into his eyes with concern. "I'm not sure how good my intuition is outside physics, but I suppose there's something you don't want to tell me." Dennison shrugged. "They're making a fuss about all this back on Earth. Godstein has been pulling its strings as tough as cables in advance of his trip back. Dr. Lamont is being lionized, and they want me to come back once the paper is written."
"Back to Earth?"
"Yes. It seems I'm a hero, too."
"You should be."
"Complete rehabilitation," said Dennison thoughtfully, "is what they offer. It's clear I can get a position in any suitable university or government agency on Earth."
"Isn't that what you wanted?"
"It's what I imagine Lamont wants, and would enjoy, and will certainly get. But I don't want it."
Selene said, "What do you want, then?"
"I want to stay on the moon."
"Why?"
"Because it's the cutting edge of humanity, and I want to be part of that cutting edge. I want to work at the establishment of cosmic pumps, and that will be only here on the moon. I want to work on paratheory with the kind of instruments you can dream up and handle, Selene."
"I want to be with you, Selene.
But will you stay with me?"
I am as interested in paratheory as you are.
Dennison said, but won't Neville pull you off the job now?
Baron, pull me off?
She said tightly,
are you trying to insult me, Ben?
Not at all.
Well then, do I misunderstand you? Are you suggesting that I'm working with you because Baron ordered me to?
Didn't he?
Yes, he did. But that's not why I'm here. I choose to be here.
He may think he can order me about, but he can only do so when his orders coincide with my will, and in your case, they did. I resent his thinking he can order me otherwise, and I resent your thinking it too.
You two are sex partners. We have been, yes, but what has that to do with it? By that argument, I can order him about as easily as he me.
Then you can work with me, Selene?
Certainly, she said coldly, if I choose to.
But do you choose to?
As of now, yes.
And Dennison smiled. The chance that you might not choose to, or even might not be able to, is, I think, what has really been worrying me this past week. I dreaded the end of the project, if it meant the end of you.
I'm sorry, Selene.
I don't mean to plague you with a sentimental attachment of an old earthy.
Well, there's nothing old earthy about your mind, Ben. There are other attachments than sexual. I like being with you.
There was a pause, and Dennison's smile faded, then returned, perhaps a thought more mechanically. I'm glad for my mind. Dennison looked away, shook his head slightly, then turned back. She watched him carefully, almost anxiously. Dennison said, Selene, there's more than energy involved in the cross-universe leaks. I suspect you've been thinking about that. The silence stretched out now, painfully, and finally Selene said,
oh, that.
For a while the two stared at each other, Dennison embarrassed, Selene almost furtive.